from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working with students and families to improve college access and student success for a better West Virginia. West Virginia University, online at wvu.edu.
Good evening. I'm Andrea Lanham for the Legislature Today. Protesting teachers returned to the Capitol today, ignoring their union leadership and extending a work stoppage for a fifth straight day statewide. Acting on a revised revenue forecast from Governor Jim Justice, the House of Delegates moved swiftly last night to pass a new 5% pay raise package for teachers, service personnel, and state police, with raises for additional state employees to be addressed in the budget bill. But a fix for PEIA is still the issue. Before the Senate assigned the pay raise bill today to its Finance Committee, Senate President Mitch Carmichael expressed his skepticism with the governor's revised revenue estimates, and he thinks it needs more review.
Mr. President, PEIA stabilization and ensuring the long-term viability, sustainability, and confidence around that insurance program is paramount, not only to the teachers, but to the school service personnel and all public employees of West Virginia. And so as we struggle with to find the right mechanism to fund that program and to ensure with absolute confidence to our wonderful public servants and public employees that that program is long-term, sustainable, viable, and they won't be subject to wild variations in their premiums, deductibles, benefit structure, all of that. We have heard that cry and that plead. And so to this point, one of the things that has been done that has been poorly communicated that we're pursuing is that there was an effort to freeze the PEIA benefit structure and premiums going forward for the next year. We see that the freeze is not a fix. And rather than take $30 million, which is the price tag, to freeze these premiums and benefit structures the next year, $30 million. Rather than take that from our rainy day fund, which is a one-time fund, right? We don't want to build base-building, long-term, sustainable programs with rainy day expenditures. We're not going to do that. I want everyone to hear that. We're putting it in the budget. Furthermore, the sports betting bill that came through the legislature, we adopted the senior senator from the 16th Amendment that put and established more money to go to the PEIA fund, a dedicated revenue stream for PEIA, step two. Step three, the co-tenancy bill allocates additional money to the PEIA long-term funding structure. Another step is we have a bill that will allocate a percentage of the surplus that West Virginia obtains to the PEIA stabilization fund. Finally, we get from the governor a revised revenue estimate. And we, as good fiscal stewards of the taxpayer dollars, are skeptical. Certainly we're skeptical. I think all people are skeptical when we see a revised revenue estimate after a contentious meeting. So we're going to put and think of a thoughtful manner to validate these numbers. But what I will say is this surplus will, with our plan will be adopted, will be dedicated to the PEIA Reserve Fund to long-term stabilize the problem. In addition, we will be providing the pay raise that has already been adopted. It's not enough. We'd like to do more. We're going to do more as we move forward as a state of West Virginia, together with our valuable public employees, to lift the ship of state higher for everyone, for everyone. We are a state at a crossroads. and we've created a powder keg. And we've heard and we've responded and we're trying. And I hope that the people can see that this legislature has done these things, these enormous things, to truly address the issues that have been brought to us by the teachers, by the public employees, by the public, about ensuring the long-term stability and viability of PEIA, while providing as much of a pay raise as we can do with our fiscal condition. So,
at the very end of session this afternoon, the Senate Finance Chairman spoke, saying his committee would not meet today.
My staff up there right now, I had to make a phone call a while ago, say we just got to find $2 million more in the budget. We have been working the budget today and yesterday and days before, but we're putting it all together right now. And it was my hopes that tomorrow afternoon we were going to have a budget in committee so that we could start deliberating that. That budget will also have to have, whatever we do for pay raises, PEIA, and all the other host of things that we need to be able to manage. I don't like feeling bullied into when we're going to do something. And I made it very clear that we weren't going to meet today, because we've got to be able to manage what we have. And we've done a good job. That the Finance Committee, every member, the minority and the majority, we've worked well together up there to be able to manage this process through. And frankly, I'm very, very proud of this. But while it's on my watch, and I'm trying to do the right things for not just this body or the teachers and the school service personnel and the state employees, we have to do the right thing for the people of West Virginia. And my goal is to put the things in place that the average income goes up for all working West Virginians, because then you've grown the tax base. When you have 50% of the people that are not participating in the workforce in West Virginia, that is an issue. When you have the schools back home volunteering to get lunches for the students that aren't in school because at home they're not getting food, that tells me we got a tax base issue. Mr. President, we're here to fix that. And that's by putting people back to work in West Virginia, across the board, getting them educated, giving them job opportunities so they don't have to leave the state.
Joining us now is Senate Minority Leader Roman Prezioso. Senator, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for asking me.
We did invite Senate Majority Leader Ryan Ferns, but he said he had a scheduling conflict, so just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that. But first off, let's talk about the tone these last few days. We had the governor making his announcement earlier this week, and union heads saying last night that they believe the best course of action was to be back in school today. We had about 3,000 people here today, and schools are beginning to call off today as well. Talk about the tone of the last few days, at least that you've experienced.
Well, it's been quite interesting. The governor, you know, came to the Capitol finally, and he's addressing this critical crisis that we're in. And I think the teachers are standing by watching things go on here in the legislature and with the governor and with their leaders, and they want some commitment that we're going to make a good faith effort to make sure that education is a priority in the state of West Virginia. And that's why they're hanging around. They feel now, I believe, if they go home, that we'll just continue to go through the motions and never do anything. And they want to be certain when they leave the Capitol that we're going to have something concrete and in place for them to take home.
Now, the Senate did take the House's message today and assigned the pay raise bill, which provides 5% to teachers, school service personnel, and I think state police as well, to the Finance Committee. What was your reaction to that?
Well, you know, we waited here last night. We knew that the governor had made, you know, the recommendation. The House immediately took up the pay raise deal up in their House Education, sent it over. We could have stayed last night and received that message, but we adjourned, and an hour later the message came over. We weren't here. Today, we just felt that there was some kind of stall tactic in place that they really didn't want to address the issue. So my recommendation was to take the bill up for immediate consideration, have it read a first time. Let's get this thing moving. Let's make a good faith effort in front of teachers that were there today that we're going to do something. We're going to put this 5% in place, and it's going to be passed. The governor will definitely sign it, and we go on about our business. We're into what, the 51st day of the legislature. We don't have a lot of days left. This is an issue that we've studied from the very beginning. The leadership of the Republican Party here in the Senate wants to send it to Finance for further study. I don't know how you study recommendations and budgets that a governor puts before you. He has the prerogative of setting the budget. And that's his executive budget. He does it every year. We accept it, and we go through it, and we try to make it balance. We can't raise that number, but we can meet that particular number that he gives us. So it seems to me that with all the people that surround him, including the chief of staff, Mike Hall, who was the former finance chair in the Senate, he's got folks around him that understand that budget. By making that adjustment and revising it and sending it up isn't going to take anything to study. This is just an estimation of the general revenues that you're going to obtain during a fiscal year. So we feel that the Democrats in the Senate feel that it's a stall tactic. We're not meeting. We didn't meet today. Finance didn't meet today, not one time. We tried to stress that we're here, we're available, you know, for discussion. We voted against adjourning. We think that we should be here. Take the thing up to Finance. Let's take a look at it. Bring the governor's folks up. Let us explain how they came to this particular budget number. We'll pass it out, take it back down to the floor, send it to the governor. The governor signs it. Teachers are back in school on Monday.
Now, I know Senate leadership has voiced some skepticism with these new revenue estimates. The Senate president today said the timing seems suspect and these numbers need more review. Do you think that these numbers need more review?
I think that the timing is suspect, but the number, if you can validate, you know, the income tax that the federal government has passed on to us, the governor's road bonds and road projects will kick in. You know, it's speculation. We do that all the time. Any executive budget is a little bit of speculation on what you're going to receive. So the timing may be suspect. I don't think the numbers are to be concerned with.
Well, I know, too, the Senate leadership had said that January's numbers were down as well, and that kind of added to their concerns with this.
See, we haven't seen those numbers yet. Well, January's numbers were down as opposed to December, but that was a little bit of an anomaly there when you had the federal income tax forms that had to be in before, you know, July 1 to take credit for last year. Those numbers are generally starting to go down in January and February, but it's peaks and valleys. You know, it'll come up maybe in March or April, and then go down again. It depends on a lot of anomalies that are built into the budget, when the severance taxes are due, when the income taxes are due, and things of that sort.
Now, so is this 5% pay raise gone at this point? Because we heard that if the Finance Committee does validate these revenue estimates, that the Senate leadership had mentioned it going to PEIA instead. Do you know what the plan for this is at this point?
We really don't. We've heard the Senate President talk about, you know, stabilization of the PEIA. It's stabilized for next year. We've taken dollars and stabilized that. There will be no increases in PEIA. So actually, we have a year and a half to take a look. This task force has a good amount of time to take a look at all the things that are built into our health care programs. You know, a lot of that's perpetuated on what the federal government does and things of that sort. They're debating, obviously, the Affordable Care Act. You know, how does that affect our PEIA? So we've got time to look at PEIA. The critical issue that I keep saying time and time again is our teacher shortage. And that is directly related to the salaries. If we don't get those salaries up and be competitive, we're going to lose teachers. And what's more important is our beginning teachers. You know, teachers that graduate from our colleges now, other states come in and offer them bonuses to go teach in maybe Virginia or Maryland. And when you acquire this debt and you've got to pay it back, you're going to apt to go to where the money is. Well, all of a sudden you get a young teacher that goes to Virginia, settles down, teaches a couple of years, gets married, has a family. They're not going to come back to West Virginia. So we've got to eliminate that aspect of teachers going out of state. And also, we've got to pay our teachers that have been here for years and what they're worth. You know, we've given benefit programs in lieu of pay raises, and now it's coming home to roost. We haven't kept up the pay raises. We can't even give teachers a good pay raise to pay for their PEIA benefits, their premiums or deductibles and things like that. So I think we're in a crisis situation. Any good businessman, I think, that has a problem with their business is going to find somebody that can correct that problem, whether it means new equipment or somebody that heads up a department. They're going to make that investment in that equipment or make that investment in that person that's going to help that business grow. If we don't invest in our teachers to help our education system grow, we really are in a lot of trouble.
Do you think that this pay raise bill is going to be passed by the Senate, and what happens if it's not?
Well, I'm encouraged that it will be passed. I think that it's a shell game that we're playing to say that we're going to put that money in PEIA. You know, if you put the money in the general budget, we come in each year and determine how that money's spent. So to say that we're going to put money in the general budget to pay for PEIA, we're not solving the problem. You have to have a dedicated funding source earmarked for PEIA. And we've had time to do that. We've had several things that we looked at. I mean, the gas tax, different types of taxes and fees, the unappropriated balance and the surplus and things like that. We haven't done a thing. We've got 9 days left. We haven't dedicated anything to PEIA, which we won't have to do this year. We will have to do that next year in next year's budget.
Unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word, but we'll definitely be following this as we continue to follow the sessions. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you for having me.
Again, we have Senate Minority Leader Roman Prezioso. Next, with thousands of teachers at the Capitol, keeping up to date on the latest information can be a daunting task for many of them, as they told Daniel Walker this morning.
I'm here every day. I'm talking to people. We've talked to senators, we talked to delegates, we talked to our building reps for both unions, AFT and WVEA. Things can get misconstrued. Social media is a good place to look, but it can also be just as full of rumors as anywhere else.
There's a lot of misinformation on there. There's a lot of people that are getting stuff from the media, and the media is not necessarily, certain media outlets are not good media outlets. They're very one-sided, and they will repost things from there on that, or they will go to they'll just put their opinion on there or rumors that they've heard.
We have to share information as it becomes available. Like I said previously, it's important that you make sure that the information that you're getting is not just hearsay, that it's actually factual. That's why I say always fact check with the legislature.gov and through our reps.
My school is also using a GroupMe, the GroupMe app, so we can share information with each other. We use Twitter, follow AFT, WVEA, and also the West Virginia Legislature website.
Well, I listen to the updates from WVEA and AFT. I'm a WVEA member, but I listen to AFT as well. They're really together right now and united on this, so they have about the same information.
Look at the agenda list for the day, see what's happening, have they recessed, when are they coming back in, what have they tabled. The best way to be informed is to be involved.
West Virginia businesses and entrepreneurs showcased opportunities and new ideas today as part of Innovation and Entrepreneurship Day at the Capitol. The event was organized by WVU's TransTech Energy Research and Business Development Program and Tech Connect West Virginia. Joining us now is Ann Barth, Executive Director of Tech Connect West Virginia. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Andrea. It's great.
So let's start with just a brief description of these two organizations and what they do, the TransTech Energy Research and Business Development Program at WVU and Tech Connect West Virginia.
Well, I'll give you the short version of TransTech, because what they're doing is really trying to help researchers commercialize or turn their research into something that can be in the marketplace. So they work really hard to encourage researchers in the energy sector to get help to commercialize their products or technologies, and every year they have a pitch contest called the TransTech Conference, where that happens. And my organization, Tech Connect, is concentrated on trying to diversify West Virginia's economy. And we want to do that through tech-based growth. And so we try to drive innovation and foster entrepreneurship all across the state. And this day that we come down to Charleston, to the state capitol, is the day that we really showcase that for lawmakers and for the public.
So your message is there's a lot going on in West Virginia in terms of technology and development and business diversification.
Correct. I think sometimes people think that innovation only happens in Silicon Valley or somewhere else in a hotspot up around MIT. But the truth is that talent is equally distributed, but opportunity is not. So what we try to do is help level the playing field so that if you have a great idea for a technology or a new software program and you want to develop it right here in West Virginia, we'll put you in touch with the types of organizations and experts that can help make your dream or a reality. And that's the exciting thing about it. And I can look around the state and tell you about companies you would never have any idea that are here, that are doing really amazing work, putting West Virginia on the map. And this is the day that we get to come to Charleston, kind of talk about that. And I don't want to overlook something really important in West Virginia, where most of our businesses are small business. And even if it's a family-owned business that's been around for 50 years or longer, because of the recent economic downturns that we've been going through, many of them are finding that they have to innovate too. And they may be a long-established company that has to become innovative to sell to a new sector or develop a new market. So it's really an effort aimed at not just startups, but also at existing businesses that might need to find out how to stay more resilient in challenging economic times.
So let's talk about you being in Charleston today. I know that there was some sort of award ceremony today.
That's right. Two firms were recognized for their energy efficiency, and that was Bimbo Bakeries of Huntington, West Virginia. Locals will remember that as like Heiner's. That is just one of their products now. But they've done amazing things to reduce their energy use and really add to their bottom line by doing that. And TransTech Energy Program at WVU recognized them with the Energy Efficiency Award. And also Eagle Manufacturing in the Northern Panhandle was recognized for their smart manufacturing advances, really starting to tie into the Internet of Things within their plant, and they were recognized for that. So things that save companies money are often programs that we have some expertise all around West Virginia to deliver. I call those groups our centers of excellence. So it might be the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. It might be the Bird Institute, or RCBI as we call it, in Huntington. And we have a terrific research and technology organization in Bluefield called the Center for Applied Research and Tech. They can work with these companies and these small businesses and even entrepreneurs to help them improve the bottom line, create new jobs, and produce more tax for West Virginia.
So we only have about a minute left. Tell me what your message to the legislature is today. How can they be more responsive to the needs of entrepreneurs?
Well, small businesses, big businesses, as I said, in West Virginia. And really what, as a state, we need to do is really embrace throughout all of the state, this idea of growing entrepreneurship, growing the culture of entrepreneurship. And in some ways, I think that's returning to our roots. We are a people who have always been able to do anything, and we do a lot with our hands. And we need to really support entrepreneurs and the organizations that help them launch businesses, create jobs, and increase the tax revenues coming into the state.
You have any final thoughts?
Well, it's exciting to get to be here today. We enjoy this chance to show that innovation is alive and well in West Virginia.
Well, thank you so much. Again, we have Ann Barth, Executive Director of Tech Connect West Virginia. Thank you so much for being here. This concludes tonight's broadcast. Please join us again tomorrow at 6 for the Legislature Today from the Capitol Building in Charleston. I'm Andrea Lanham for West Virginia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for joining us and have a great evening.